Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Oh, could you turn that off? That's horrible. I don't feel like listening to Pantera. Welcome to the Savage Nation. God, that was horrendous. Why am I asking for heavy metal music? I am absolutely brain dead from this presidential race. I'm brain dead because I see a communist in the White House getting away with virtual murder on a daily basis. He's killing people with drones, but because the drones have a D on them, it's not murder. He's destroying the economy, the American way. And because of the viruses in the media, he gets away with it. And then on the other side, we have the, I don't know how to put it, they're nice white guys, they're rigid, they're stiff, they can't really dance. You know, it's that kind of thing. They got no movement. Not saying a word that we really need to hear about the fundamental attack upon our core principles and values. So I'm asleep. I'm going to sleep. Today in the mail, for example, listen to the Savage Nation. Listening to the Savage Nation is what you are doing. Every day I get proposals for people to come on the show, books, and, you know, I normally ignore them. Sometimes I get angry and send back a reply like this. I said, I don't publicize the views of communists. It came to me from some unknown publisher, and it said, Dear Michael, many say that this presidential election is a battle for the soul of America. Or more precisely, it's a fight to define the true American national identity. For decades, the American right wing has mostly controlled this conversation on national identity, known more popularly as American values. This is changing. This is from a publisher now. The election of Obama started it, and his re-election will cement it. That the left, led by Barack Obama, defines America's true national identity. So says Dr. Ian Shmekovitz, the author of a new book. I won't read the book. That's not his real name. It's not Dr. Ian Shmekovitz. But it's one of the New York commies that run around the universities there. So the guy goes on, I'd like to pitch Dr. Shmekovitz for a segment on the Michael Savage Show. See three-point debate below. I think this would make a hard-hitting discussion debate because while so many on the right loudly stake ownership of the American values issue by attacking Obama, painting him as the other, or unpatriotic, or elitist, even foreign-born. Dr. Shmekovitz says that Barack Obama's presidency, and Barack Obama himself, embodies America's true values. I'm not making it up one word. Let me read it on. This is a debate that goes deeper than displaying a flag pin, or singing loudly during the national anthem. It's about what it truly means to live up to the American ideal. Then they go on telling me why we should have Dr. Ian Shmekovitz on, and whether I want to receive his book. Then the press releases for immediate release. Who really represents American values? Controversial study claims Obama embodies true national identity. I'm not making up a word. The 2012 presidential election has been described by thinkers on both sides of the aisle as a battle for the soul of America. Nowhere is this battle more evident than in the constant salvos fired from both camps attempting to define what true American values are. Is Obama the contrast to or the best example of American values? Dr. Shmekovitz, author of the book, says that Obama embodies true American values and his presidency and re-election is the sign that America is actually waking up to that fact. In an interview, Dr. Shmekovitz debates three important markers that show that this is true. And then one, is the American identity defined by involuntary ethnic racial terms or by voluntary civic terms? I have no idea what that means, incidentally. So I can't even Oh, here it is. It's bashing whites. Historically, the powers that controlled America defined a national identity that is too heavily focused on a white male elite culture. Even today, this is conventional wisdom. Obama's election and presidency mark a better American ideal that we should aspire to. Well, you also want to add that the white male elite culture is the culture that defeated Hitler. And without them, what would you be? You'd have a ring in your nose. And what would you be doing, idiot? Then it goes on. Obama is the correct president for the future because Obama embodies fairness and a government built to help the weakest in society. Wow. The weakest in society. You mean like Corzine? You mean like, let's see, the other weak ones, those who are friends of Pelosi or the friends of Reid? Are those the weakest in our society? Those with the fake solar companies, those the weakest in society? Is the American identity based on narrow cultural assimilation or multiculturalism? Now, this, you're not going to believe this, but I swear this idiot wrote this. The right wing continues to define America by goading its immigrant population into assimilating, which is really forcing it into a culture that is white, male, and elite, while Obama embodies multiculturalism, where diversity in gender and ethnicity is empowered. Wow. So in other words, the days of assimilation are over. Now people who run from the third world, the garbage countries that they run away from because the life is impossible for them there, are telling us we should now adopt the mores of the countries they ran away from? Yes, according to Dr. Ian Shmekovich, that is true. Dr. Ian Shmekovich is a professor of history, and I won't read the college, but it belongs to the State University of New York. That, of course, is where Governor Cuomo reigns supreme. So they conclude by saying, is Obama's America the true America? What are true American values? And then they have, you know, a question of whether I want to book them on the show. And I answer them simply, I don't publicize the views of communists. There's nothing here for you to call me about, nothing whatsoever. I just tell you, I cannot believe the overt communism that I'm seeing coming into my office. I just cannot believe this. It's astounding. I think that the Twitter generation is so stupid that they don't even understand that their very freedoms are at stake and that we have the first communist president in American history. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not practicing overt, full-blown Soviet-era communism. No, sir. He's practicing the type of progressive socialism that I described in my best-selling books, Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. But you can also bank the following, that if this shyster is reelected with his gang, we will have full-blown Marxism in this nation within the first 3 years. And that leads us to the callers. Because you can tell a candidate or a president by who he surrounds himself with. So I'd like to take some callers on those of you who know who Axelrod is. Axelrod is Obama's brain. Does anyone out there know who Axelrod actually is and why he gets away with it? Let's take our first caller from someone who does know of Obama's brain. Anthony in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Good day, Mr. Mr. Axelrod is basically a communist, and they've been studying Aiken for a long period of time. As far as Mr. Aiken is concerned, he's a scientist, and they knew precisely.
Wait. Now you're all over the map. Now it's Axelrod to Aiken. Let's stick to Axelrod. What do you know about Axelrod that lets you say he's a communist? What has he done that would make you say that?
Axelrod is.
I asked you a question. You said that Obama's brain, Axelrod, is a communist. What would have you say that?
Because of the method they used to take out Aiken.
You're on the wrong, you're barking up the wrong tree. Let's not turn Aiken into a hero. That's absolutely the wrong road that you're on. Thank you for the call. So you're using the wrong road. I mean, if you had an educated opinion on Axelrod, that's one thing. But I don't think that you do. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled. And woe to you that dealest treacherously, and thou dealt not treacherously with thee. What does that mean? I can't even read the Bible today. I think I'm getting dyslexic from it all. As locusts leap, do they leap upon it? I don't even want to read the Bible today. You ever reach that point where nothing makes sense to you? And Moses went and spoke the... Nothing works for me anymore. Nothing. The Bible, I can't read it. A drink doesn't do me any good. I'm overeating. It doesn't even taste any good. I ate two lunches today. I feel sick from them. Two Chinese lunches. I didn't want either of them. Would you believe this? Why would I eat two lunches today? It's from looking at this garbage day in and day out. I feel like the servant of the fool. I can't believe it. I look at articles. Did you see the article that Eric Holder is hiring schizophrenics and intellectually disabled people. He's putting them at the top of the list at the Justice Department. That was the last straw for me. I have to find this one here. Department of Justice under the superb Eric Holder is recruiting schizophrenics and intellectually disabled. And if you think I'm making this up, we found PJ Tatler, PJ Media, has actually obtained documents from the so-called Justice Department detailing their efforts to recruit attorneys and staff who are dwarfs or who have psychiatric disabilities or severe intellectual disabilities. On May 31, 2012, Assistant Attorney General Tom Perez issued a directive to affirmatively recruit people. That means that schizophrenics or intellectually disabled people don't have to endure the regular civil service competition among applicants, but can be plucked from the stack of resumes and hired immediately instead. This is what they've been doing at University of California at Berkeley for at least 25 years. When I graduated with a 4.0 index with a PhD, they wouldn't hire me. Lawyers with psychiatric disabilities and severe intellectual abilities, wouldn't that define everyone at the Department of Justice? I can't believe this. Why in the world would you not be excited about this? How could you not understand that we're living in a post-communist revolution where we have the most incompetent, corrupt, I have to use the word in a proper way, deviant, and I don't mean that in a sense of sexual deviancy. They are psychiatrically deviant. We have a psychiatrically deviant administration where they would put people like this at the top of a hiring list, but they've already done so. Take a look at the people they surround themselves with. Let us begin with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Do you think this woman is all there? Even Obama, who's intelligent, understands that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is somehow mentally off. Does anyone out there know who Axelrod is? Does anyone out there know what his background is? Does anyone out there know why I call Axelrod Obama's brain? I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right, welcome back to the program. Knock the music off. I'm not in a good mood. So Eric Holder's Justice Department is recruiting dwarfs, schizophrenics, and the intellectually disabled. We're not making this up. We found the hiring form. It's from PJ Media. It's on michaelsavage.com. And these people with such targeted disabilities may be hired through a non-competitive appointment. In other words, they're disabled, right? Now, why would this creep in the Civil Rights Division be doing this? Do you think he's stupid? Now, Attorney General Tom Perez is one of the most fanatic leftists in the United States of America today. So why would he affirmatively be recruiting so-called intellectual dwarfs and schizophrenics into the Justice Department without any competition? You think he's stupid? No, he's far more dangerous than you may understand. Why are they recruiting lawyers in that department? Because they're afraid that the Republicans are going to win. And if the Republicans win, you will not be able to fire these lawyers. Once a person is hired under the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act, which is one of the most horrendous acts ever passed, it is so rife with fraud that it's almost impossible to describe. You'll never fire any one of these hires. Since they are going to be hired as disabled, they're entitled to all of the robust protections of this law, the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act. Ask anyone who owns a business what this has done to them. So that means the employer has to be reasonably accommodating, whatever the employee wants. And if you should even dismiss one or discipline one, you'll be taken to court in a moment for discriminating against them because they're a disabled person. So you see, if the Republicans should win, God willing, in November, and they try to get rid of these far-left fanatics in November, they will not be able to get rid of them. And that's why this character, who I just mentioned, who you never heard of, who was put there by Obama, another one of his left-wing fanatics, Assistant Attorney General Tom Perez is hiring those with psychiatric disabilities. He's trying to plant fanatic leftists into the Justice Department that you cannot get rid of, even with a Republican administration. Do you understand how devious these people are? Do you understand how deadly they are? Do you understand the job that we have to do? I try every day to help you on this. It's not easy to do. Houston, Texas, Arthur, you're on the Savage Nation. So yeah. You know something about Obama's brain, Axelrod. What is it?
You and I, growing up in New York City, our parents would have called them communists. I think you know what I'm talking about. Back in the 50s, there were people for your parents.
I don't know what kind of call screening I'm getting today. We need more than generalities. What has Axelrod done that would let you call him a communist?
I don't. What? Well, I think.
1-800-449-8255. Washington, D.C. Jeff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's Washington State, Michael. Thanks.
I'm sorry to hear it. I'm sorry to hear it. It's worse than Washington, D.C.
It is worse than Washington. It's the next worst thing. What I observed today, over the weekend, I've seen the left-wing, who has put Obama and kept him in safely in power first 3.5 years, they are beginning to see their handwriting on the wall, and they are starting to make their case for legitimacy. They're trying to act like,
Well, even Newsweek, which they can't give away, published an article this week which said it's time for Obama to go. Now, why would they have done that? Unless they are reading the tea leaves of the Tea Party and know that America's drinking tea, they're not drinking the sugar solution called the Kool-Aid of the Obama administration. Why? Even these left-wing rags that they can't give away understand what's going to happen in November. With a candidate as tepid as Romney, I keep forgetting his name. He's easily forgettable, I admit it. People ask me, do you think he did the right thing with Ryan? I said, yeah, it's like adding white flour to white bread. Good pick.
Savage.
All right, let's move on to something that's not political. Mental disorders linked to older fathers. I that caught my eye because there's a myth that it's older women, in other words, if you're born of an older mother, that would increase your chance of inheriting certain disorders such as schizophrenia or autism. Well, it turns out that a new study from Iceland, I believe, shows that disorders such as autism and schizophrenia are higher in families with fathers who become fathers later in life. They pass on more genetic mutations, contributing to such disorders. According to this study that just came out of older fathers pass on more new genetic mutations to offspring. It's a fascinating study published online Wednesday in the journal Nature. Shows that rates of autism and some other disorders are more prevalent in children born of older fathers, sometimes by a factor of 2 or more. They say, though this has been observed for years from population studies, scientists had not known what lay behind it. Although older mothers are at higher risk for complications such as diabetes during pregnancy and are more likely to have children with chromosomal disorders such as Down syndrome, the study found that practically all of the new mutations detected in children come from the father. And this new research has been made possible by recent advances in DNA sequencing technology. This will also help correct an overemphasis on the riskiness of women giving birth at older ages, some researchers said. Forget example. A man at age 30, roughly, at the time he fathered a child, contributed 63 new mutations on average to his offspring. And a man aged 46 contributed 126 mutations, a doubling, the authors calculated. Now, many of the mutations would confer no effect either for good or ill on the children, scientists noted. Right? But the number of genetic alterations is something that is worth looking at. And I'm not going to read you the rest of the study, but it's a fascinating study, and it leads to the question, are you the child of an older father? Are you the child of an older mother? And how did it affect you? So the question is, do old parents run the risk of creating children who have problems at a greater rate than younger parents? You know? I mean, you can make funny jokes about this, but it's not a funny thing if you're born with a disability as a result of a genetic inheritance. And maybe people ought to stop and think twice before the 50 or 60-year-old marries a 20-year-old, you know, wants to have a child, which he should have had at 25 or 30. I mean, the normal way, biologically, is for people to have babies very young. That is the norm in the world of zoology. The young produce the most viable offspring. It's true whether it's in humans or in animals. The younger you are, the more viable the offspring. The older you are, the less viable the offspring. It's just actually a product of reality, and everybody has sort of known that from the beginning of time. And I think many of us have lost our common sense about these things. This doesn't mean that an older man shouldn't get married and have children, but you are increasing the risk of passing on more new genetic mutations to your offspring if you're an older guy, especially if you're with an older woman. And this whole idea of women having babies at 65 is ludicrous. Men having babies when they're 70, 75, everyone brings up, oh, Picasso had a baby when he was 80. Well, how did that work out? What has Picasso's son done lately? I mean, I know that's not the answer, but, you know, why is that held up as the model for the older man? Oh, Picasso had a young model as his wife, and he had a baby at 80. And what? I mean, where's the son today? Unless he's working for Eric Holder in the Department of Justice, I haven't heard about him. I don't know what he's doing, frankly. All right, so let's move on. Another dud. No one cares. Older fathers pass. It interested me. I thought it would interest you. I think everyone's away. Is everyone away? What day is today? It's the end of August. I think everybody's on a boat somewhere in the Mediterranean or they're in Tampa. My family is leaving me Saturday, so I feel a little blue. They're all going on a ship in the Mediterranean. I'm not going. Would you believe that? You say, oh, Mike, you love boats. You should go. I'm not going. You got to be. I'm not. Are you crazy? I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Munich. 13 and a half hours from San Francisco to Munich. Then they got to get off that plane and then get on another plane and fly to Naples to meet the ship. And then what? I mean, I'm not knocking it in directly, but I go crazy on a boat. What do? You eat and drink all day long and then get off and walk around and see poor Italians walking in the gutter? Or poor Corsicans, or poor Albans. What do you call a person from Elba? Albans? Elbows? Elbows and Elbets? Is there anyone from Elba or that region in the Mediterranean? How do you define yourself? As an elbow or an Elbet? I don't know. I could watch Nat Geo if I want to see Elba, or the History Channel, where Napoleon lived. But I'm kind of sad because everyone's going to be gone but me. And I mean, I should go. I don't want to go. They're going to go. They're flying to Munich. Then they're flying to Naples. Then they're joining the ship. I'm staying here. Now, look, I boat on weekends. My thing on boating is I go out for a couple hours on the weekend, and I enjoy it enormously. Why? Because, A, I know I'm going to get off the boat in 3 hours, and be in my own bed that afternoon. I mean, one of my greatest pleasures in life, if I must tell you, is going out on my boat on a Sunday. I'm a Sunday boater. It's a big boat, but I mean, you could go up the coast to Alaska, my boat. It's got three cabins, three heads, a washer and dryer from Sweden, an ice box, a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, two generators. I never use them. I use one refrigerator for beer and water. I never washed a pair of socks in the dishwasher, in the washer dryer. I never washed a dish in the dishwasher. See, whoever buys my used cars or boats gets something like better than new. It's always been true. Only one bathroom has ever been used. I'm not trying to sell you anything. But one of my greatest pleasures is getting on the boat, getting underway. It's always a challenge, taking her out, turning to starboard and heading over the, you know, wherever. And like last weekend, I went to Jack London Square. We docked. That's always fun. You get off. You see the farmer's market. You see the people milling about in Jack London Square. I mean, nothing really to see. And you look for a hamburger, you can't find one. If you want a hamburger in Jack London Square, you have to risk walking through the pimps and hoes to a local hamburger place, which is about two blocks into Oakland. You wouldn't go there if you had an armored personnel carrier. I made the mistake on one trip of going for hamburger. I looked for a Burger King. I wanted a couple of chicken burgers and french fries for me and the dog and the They said, no, there's no Burger King here. It's typical Bay Area. Oh, no, we don't have any of those corporate stores. We have a wonderful local hamburger place. It's right down there up that street. Okay, fine. I'll see the local people. Well, there was a pimp berating his hoe, basically threatening to kill her because she wasn't bringing in enough money. He had the 10-gallon hat on or whatever. Poor girl looked, you know, like a junkie. That was very charming. And then hanging around the hamburger stand was equally enlightening in terms of the clientele that was waiting for the fried grease burger. So I don't need to do that again. But the part I was getting to is that the best part of that boat trip is coming home. Because I know I go home, dock the boat, wash the boat, get in the car, drive to my house, and then what do? 4 or 5 o'clock, Teddy and I lay in bed. I go to sleep for an hour. Maybe one of the greatest feelings on earth, because I don't know what it is. You're floating from the boat. You're back on the... He likes to be home. He lays on his back, and he just starts to snore. He knows he's back home in his bed. And, you know, you look through your door, but to go away for 10, 15 days on a boat... I'm not an immigrant. Why would I want to be in a boat for 10 days unless I was an immigrant, you know, making the passage from Europe to America in like 1905? Or let's say I'm working in the Antarctic for NOAA. I want to practice with my hollow point bullets on seals. That's why I need 700,000 hollow point bullets in the National Oceanic and Space, or whatever, NOAA. They need the bullets to practice on seals and whales, even though they're not supposed to kill them. Who are they using the bullets on? See what I'm talking about? That's why I'm not going. So I'm a little blue because they're going and I'm not going. I'm the only one in the family not going. I've reached that point in life. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to be here over the long Labor Day weekend. Then I got to put a barbecue on or there's going to be no barbecue. Boring. With a capital G. Little B, big G. I make so many mistakes with parties. I'm one of these guys, it's like I do them, and then I'm sorry I did it the minute that I plan them for 10 days. Everything's perfect. And the day of the party, I wish I didn't. I want to leave the minute it starts. Are you like that? It's like everything's there. The burgers are sizzling, the beer, and then I don't want to be there. The only like barbecues I really want to be at are in the movies. Usually cop barbecues you ever see those cop barbecues? Don't they look great? Or the mafia barbecues in the backyards of like New Jersey? They're always like, oh, wow, I wish I could be there, you know, eat that long sausage and the whatever, and the kids are running around and there's the guy sitting in the beach chair. They don't happen. It's all fantasy. It's all created by red diaper doper babies from Brooklyn who are living in Los Angeles and giving us Obama. Nobody does that except Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. They create that for you, so you think you're not at the barbecue. No one does that. There are no such things. Although tonight there's a Republican barbecue near where I live. I'm not going. Imagine, you want to see how bad this has gotten? They send me an email inviting me to the opening of a new Republican headquarters in California, which unto itself is like an endangered species. The government ought to give them money here in California. Do you know what they are serving in the year 2012? I couldn't believe it. Roast beef sandwiches. Roast beef sandwiches they're serving. They say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it's not 1912 when people ate that way and died at age 47. Can they possibly have a meal that looks a little more inclusive than meat and potatoes? See, so nothing's working for me right now, which is, in a way, it's okay. I feel good that nothing's working because it confirms what I know about life already, which is that nothing works. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the end of summer at the Hotel Ozone, and it's actually the Hotel Savage. Every year it's the same thing, year in and year out. Late August, people go away, people don't want to think about politics, and yet here we're going to be inflicted with conventions now. Who cares with the balloons and the flags? I get on with it already. Let us vote. Why couldn't we have voted last spring and this would all be over by now? What is this? What kind of childish nation do I live in that so much money is spent over such small people? These are so less than ordinary men, it's beyond belief. I mean, if they were super alpha men who had invented something or done something and it was a choice between one titan and another, one intellectual giant or another, there's nothing here. It's one Lilliputian versus another. So, but it's like one man's opinion. I don't know, man. I'm the only one who thinks this. Sacramento John, you're calling on an earlier topic. I claim that there are no real cop barbecues or mafia barbecues. They're only created. You actually say there are such things.
Oh, there are such things, Michael, and I attended one last year. I live in San Leandro. I cooked spaghetti sauce for a friend of mine that owns a restaurant. This guy came from the East Coast, and it tastes just like his grandmother. Who's the cook? He wanted to introduce himself to me. It's just like something out of The Sopranos.
What do you serve at such a barbecue? What do you serve? I'm not going to ask any more than that. What kind of food is served at such a gathering?
He said, if you're ever back here, call me. I called him. I go to Mahwah, New Jersey. He's having a barbecue. He says, come over and cook some. They call it gravy.
Yeah, they call sauce gravy. Why did the old-time Italians call sauce gravy? I never understand that.
I have no idea. We call it sauce. They call it gravy. And he wanted me to make his grandmother's sauce. I did the onions, the sausage. I did the whole thing. But they do have pasta. They do have raviolis. He had my sauce, which he loved. And they do sit around in their little groups with their pinky rings on and their necklaces. And they have a lot of sausages, which half of them make them the plate. Half of them come over and grab one. They have pasta. They have French bread. They have wine.
Wait, John, hold on. You're making my mouth water. That sounds like real food. You're a restaurant owner?
No. I used to cook. And my friends went on to, I went into another thing in the grocery business, but my friends went on to be cooks and chefs.
Wait, you said they went on to be cooks and crooks, right?
Restaurants.
You lost me. You started by saying this is a barbecue where gangsters go. So you would say that your friends became cooks and crooks?
They were having the barbecue, and he wanted me to cook my sauce that he really liked. It reminded him of his grandma.
Wait a minute. Now you're pulling my leg. Hold on. Why would you be there if you're not in the same business?
I was a friend. He's with me. So I went in there.
Are they allowed to bring civilians along?
Of course. Yeah. There was other people there. They're not all... they say he's a friend of mine. If you're with them, he says I'm a friend of ours. It's just like the movie. I'm a friend of his. So they knew I wasn't one of them, and they knew who it was. He said, he's with me. He's here to cook my grandma's gravy. I cooked her
gravy. So you didn't get called into the inner circle for the business talk. You were there to just be a friend of a friend. That's all.
I was a friend of a friend, and he took care of me. Shoved a couple hundreds in my pocket, and I'll never forget it. It was a crack up, and it's just like
It must have been a lot of fun. But I mean, what kind of sausages do they eat?
They like Italian sausage. I did the New York style hot, and I did the New York style Italian sausage.
But I mean, what you buy over the counter, or you made them?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, back there, Michael, they have. You know, you and I go to the store and we buy New York style deli. Back there, you go to the deli. He says, "What do you need?" And I gave him a list of what I needed. I told him mushrooms, Italian sausage, hot Italian. I seared them up, put them in the sauce.
There's no comparison between the sausage in New York City and anywhere else. Never. I'm talking about if you want Italian sausage, you can't find it in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It's just not here. People eat like tofu sausage here or chicken apple sausage. It's not the same thing.
They have good sausage back there, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, they have high incidence of colorectal cancer as well and diabetes. I mean, the guys are not that healthy from eating it, but if you really love food, there's nothing tastier than bad food.
They're not that healthy.
I don't know how to put it. There is nothing tastier than bad food. That's about the closest thing I can come to truth today about food. The worse it is for you, the better it tastes. I mean, I myself eat chicken apple sausage. I eat like, you know, I'm a health food eater type. I have been for 50 years, which is why I'm still kicking. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin C since I'm 28 years old. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin E, according to the Shute brothers, for 35 years. I've been taking massive doses of B vitamins, and I eat. If I go to my favorite Italian restaurant or my favorite Basque restaurant, you know what they put on the table for me without my asking? They put minced garlic, chopped garlic in oil, and minced onions before I even start the meal. And so when I get the soup, I put the onions in the soup and I make a gazpacho out of it. Now, I got to tell you, you know and I both know that massive amounts of garlic and onions are phenomenally good for your body. But most people can't tolerate it, and they don't eat it. It tastes like you're burning yourself. It's sort of like a Roto-Rooter for toxins in your body. You take a spoonful of minced garlic in oil, okay, and put it on a nice piece of Italian bread before a meal. I know it sounds crazy, right? And you eat that with a little bit of wine before you start eating. You know what you're doing? It's like spraying Raid inside your guts for every microorganism that doesn't belong there. I think that's what's wrong with me today, is I feel too good. I actually have so cured myself with vitamins and high doses of garlic and onions, and nothing bothers me, so I can't do a good show. There's nothing agitating me. I feel too calm. I may have to quit radio if I continue to feel this good. I may simply have to retire and become a normal man. I better call my family and tell them to get me a ticket to the ship. I'm starting to realize I may be becoming normal again from detoxing to such an extent that there's nothing agitating me. Isn't that something? That's a weird feeling. It's like the Buddy Hackett joke. You know that great joke from the 50s, which I've told too many times. I'll tell it again in case you haven't heard it. The guy goes in the army. They take him to Fort Dix. They put him on the military food. After a week, he says he went into the infirmary. The doctor said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I must be sick." He said, "Why?" He said, "Every time I eat the food," he said, "I don't have indigestion. There must be something wrong with me." In other words, it was the first time in his life. It was the first time in his life that he didn't have indigestion, so he thought something was wrong with him. He thought it was the norm to eat his mother's food and then start belching and gagging, you know, feeling bloated, opening his pants, sitting on the couch, gagging. He thought that was the normal response to a meal. So the guy goes in the army. They give him a lean, you know, American meal, and the guy doesn't have any such indigestions. He thinks there's something wrong with him. It's very funny. But you have to be, you know, from a certain milieu to think that's clever and fun. To me, it's funny. To this day. That's all. Let's move on. Next case. You think I'm going to get worked up now over who wins? Oh, God. How many books and stories and shows do I have to do here till you finally get it? Hey, I don't care if you're a lifetime Democrat. I really don't care, but you got to understand Obama's not a Democrat. He is bad for you as a Democrat. The man is a naked communist. You're not going to do well. I don't care what angle you're in. This guy is a disaster for you. And anybody in business should know that. I don't care if your business is legitimate or illegitimate. This guy is anti-business. And so that's my opinion. And I don't understand how America hasn't awakened to this. I don't understand. Oh, here we go. Romney is a genius. Obama's a genius. Special men, they're titans. Romney's one of the great men.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're moving up to the year 2012. Taylor Swift, never heard of her till I just saw that she scored the biggest digital sales week ever for a female artist with her song on downloads, to 623,000 downloads. I mean, she's not from my world, you know. I had never heard of her. That's a whole interesting thing. And a buck a pop, that's $623,000 for whining about a boyfriend. That's pretty good. I mean, why go to college? Why eat healthfully? You know, just be white trash and whine about a boyfriend and a refrigerator on your front lawn when you were a child. Pop singer Keisha's TikTok, another great example of humanity, previously held the title for the biggest first-week digital sales by a female artist, I love the word artist, with 610,000 downloads for singing about walkable to me. You know, you could see why the kids can't focus in school. If you write a song about alcoholism, beatings, visits to the ER, gunshots, refrigerators on your front lawn, cars falling into lakes. I mean, then you got a hit in America today. Real raw lyrics, just great. All the years of education, all the years of thinking and looking up to the geniuses of my time. Take a look who's at the top of these charts. The lowest of the low rise to the highest of the high. It's amazing to me. I mean, when you think about it, look at Glenn Beck. Look how far he's gotten. Unbelievable. No, everybody in the conservative movement scratches their head over that guy. No one could believe that man gets away with what he gets away with. He does a Margo on people and they buy it. You know, he thinks he's a preacher, not an entertainer. He doesn't understand that he's supposed to be an entertainer, not a preacher. What do you want to talk about? Gravy, wavy gravy, older fathers, Romney, Homney, Momney, Bomney, all aboard. Romney, Homney, Bomney. See, what I said in the last hour, if I actually analyze it, the most interesting part of that hour, if you've just tuned in, was when I alleged, and I was proven wrong by one man, I alleged that that the barbecues you see in movies, cop barbecues and mafia barbecues, don't exist. The guy called and said he was at a mafia barbecue. So I said, okay, then they do exist. And he described the food. But I was alleging that most of these barbecues are fake. But in his case, they were real. But you know what caught my attention was not only the gravy thing and the sauce. I noticed the East Coast Italians call it gravy, which is kind of quaint. It's sort of like the cable car of language. Why would you refer to sauce as gravy? I'll never understand. I do understand it. Now I get it. If you call gravy sauce, what you're doing is you're trying to act uppity. You're trying to act like you're French almost. So if you're an old world Italian guy and you want to show you from the old world with basic old world, down to earth, real values, you call it gravy. If you're trying to be from San Francisco, you know what I'm saying, where you wear your pinky ring on the other pinky, you call it gravy. That's all. That's how it works. It's as simple as that. It's a matter of choice in language. It's not you. I mean, you call it sauce. Pardon me. Gravy sauce, sauce gravy. Some call it gravy. Some call it sauce. Maybe I should do a rap song and do it on a digital download. Maybe I should do that. Start singing for a living. I need a change in my life. Some kind of dramatic change. I don't know what it is. I feel like I'm at a hiatus. I really feel like I'm at a hiatus. Something big is going to happen in my life very soon. Either I'm going to die of a heart attack or have a breakthrough politically or professionally. One or the other. I really feel like I'm at a precipice in my life. You ever get those feelings where everything becomes like a different... I can feel it in my head. Like, I have a very psychic... my mind is quite psychic. It's always been able to feel things, see things ahead of... That's why I'm successful. You've got to understand it wasn't by accident. A man doesn't achieve what I've achieved by accident. Yes, it's hard work. But my ability to see down the road and be right is why people keep listening to me. Yeah, I mean, I have a good voice and I'm entertaining and I can, you know, come out of nowhere. You know, I can hit from outfield to infield, infield to outfield. I can catch, I can pitch, I can, you know what I'm saying? I can do shortstop, second base, third base, first base, and the outfield and can be a fan all at the same time, which is interesting. I'm a versatile performer on the radio, okay? But there's an element in my head that is none of those things. It's sort of a psychic ability, which many people have, incidentally. Most of you have psychic abilities, but you're afraid of them. See, I'm one of the people who tapped into my subconscious a long time ago, and I don't run from it. I'm like a primitive in that regard, because all primitive people have a psychic ability. But what do you mean by a psychic ability? It's like, ooh, what does that mean? I don't mean Ghostbusters. I don't mean like sounds in the attic. You know, I'm not talking about that. What I mean is, let's make it very basic. You get a feeling about something and you don't do something you were going to do. And then you find out had you done what you were originally going to do, something bad would have happened to you. That's what I mean, right? That's what keeps you alive. You ever watch animals? I'm a big watcher of animals. I like to watch birds of prey hunt. I know, what? Where'd he come up with that one? I love watching beautiful, long-legged marsh birds as they slowly walk through the marsh looking for like a mussel, a clam, a snail, whatever. You ever watch how cautiously they lift their feet? You know, the martial artists, the original martial artists who developed various styles of martial arts, had a method, many different methods. One was called the white crane method. Now, what is the white crane method? How did the ancient Chinese develop the white crane method? Because there were men like me who were observers of nature who would watch animals for their inspiration and for their knowledge of fighting. Because if you ever watch cranes fight, it's something to behold. It's a horrible thing to behold because there are no rules. You know what I'm saying? There's no gloves. And there's no tapping out. It's called like rip the other guy's liver out in the white crane method of white cranes fighting white cranes. But what I'm getting at is if you watch the white crane's legs move, notice how cautiously the crane moves in the muck. He doesn't just pop along like, you know, Mickey Mouse running through a hole in the wall in a cartoon. It's like, hey, not a happy little animal there. This guy knows that every step, this bird knows that each step it takes has to be so deliberate and so well-placed that, one, it advances his position with regard to seeking the food he is after, and, B, doesn't scare off the prey. Okay, so that's pretty... But we all have that in us. Isn't that true? Don't we all have that in us in order to get through a day? How do you drive on a highway? You're using some methodology, which is why you got to be an idiot to talk on a cell phone while you're driving on a highway. You have any idea what you're doing? You're going 65, 70 miles an hour in a 2,000, 3,000-pound vehicle loaded with gasoline and other fluids that are inflammable, and you're distracted. I don't know how there aren't more accidents, to be honest with you. But you're using some kind of psychic ability when you're driving to prevent from hitting the other car. You may think it's simple, but it isn't. It's very complicated. Driving is very complicated, which is why we should take our hats off to the Highway Patrol. They are the shepherds of the highway. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I was saying, like, you know, in the last hour, if I would analyze tonight, which I won't do, I'll probably just be a vegetable and watch television. I'll just be a depressive at home with the dog and say, what happened to my life? I'm rich and famous, and I'm a home alone watching television. Well, I do it on purpose. I actually love television. I've reached the point in my life where I let myself watch one movie after another. It relaxes my mind. I tune out. I don't watch the news. I can't stand it. So remember I said that I have like a psychic ability? Well, one of my psychic abilities was don't go to Europe in the summer, even though it's, you know, with the family. Why? Because, A, it's August and it's hot there. So now I read just a minute ago. I know it's hot in Europe. I was there as a kid. My standard joke on Europe is, how come you don't want to go to Europe? Because my father left Europe in 1920 to get to come here. I mean, what do I want to go to Europe for? He left. He fled. He came. It's like the Lower East Side when I went to visit it. Why would I want to live there? My father fled the Lower East Side as fast as he could. He made enough money to move to Queens. Why would he want to be in the Lower East Side? What is there but garbage in the streets and too many restaurants? You know, whether it's gravy or sauce, who wants to live there? So heat wave hits Europe. See, I'm glad I said I'm not going now. Mercury climbed to 38 degrees Celsius on Monday. I'm trying to be fancy now. That's 100 degrees Fahrenheit. That's in Czechoslovakia. That's pretty hot. Soaring temperatures continued in much of Europe Monday as the mercury climbed to 100 degrees Fahrenheit in cities from Vienna to Paris. Bingo. See, I'm glad I'm not going. I would suffer. Imagine flying from where I live with the fog. It's so beautiful here. I wake up in the morning, I have to put on a sweatshirt. I wear a cap in the morning because the fog is all over my house and from the bay. I love it. I love the temperature. So why would I want to put myself into a steam bath? I mean, I don't know. Okay, to different strokes for different folks. It's like gravy versus sauce. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. Sophia in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Quick, fire away. What's on your mind?
My pleasure, yes. I just want to say I'm an Italian-born, grew up in Jamaica, Queens, and Brooklyn, New York. And
right.
The real authentic Italians never use the expression gravy. That's an Americanized. The only kids that used to use that as I was growing up were American kids or Irish American kids. Real Italians don't call it gravy. We call it.
So wait a minute. So what do you mean? The Italian Americans don't even use the word gravy? It's an affectation?
No, sir. Don't know where that came from.
But I know guys who try to look like they're tough guys use the word gravy. They try to sound like they're from a certain part of Red Hook. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all. They're misinformed or they're just it's a pretense. Real Italians.
It is somewhat pretentious. I mean, why would you call sauce gravy? I don't understand it. But wait a minute. But let's be clear here. Many of the older Italian men did use the word gravy, didn't they? But we're saying that was a misnomer?
Yes, sir. Don't know where that came from. I've heard it before, but we never used that.
Well, I knew guys who would say, instead of saying calamari, they would try to act like they were tough. They'd say, let me have some of the calamari. You know what I'm saying? They'll put on that extra...
Sir, that's different because that's... when you say calamari, you show that you don't know how to pronounce calamari. That's Italian.
So you mean they are saying calamari. That's what it is.
That is proper. Yeah, that's proper. It's like you don't say mozzarella, you say mozzarella. That's because we're really Italian. We grew up
mozzarella.
Saying
that. Mozzarella. That's like Muslim as opposed to Muslim.
It's mozzarella. And
how do you say tarantella? Since you know how to say mozzarella, how do you say tarantella?
Tarantella.
Tarantella. What do you mean? So in Italian, a T is a D?
No, it's just a soft T. Tarantella. You don't say
tarantella. Tarantella. Dardanella. 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 So I love the Italian language. You know why? It's the one language that I know tangentially where there are so many words for good. Bueno, bono, bella. Everything's beautiful to it. Some of the Italians I know, every word out of their mouth is beautiful. It's nice. It's nicer. It's good. It's good. It's better. It's a phenomenally positive language.
Thank you. I agree.
Are there any depressives in Italian? Are there any Italian people who get depressed?
Yeah, we get depressed, but we don't show it because we eat so well.
I have an Italian friend who says to me, what did he say? I don't want to get it wrong because I think I quoted it on the show already. It was Lorenzo in North Beach. He says to me, his grandfather used to say to him, everybody has a cross to bear. But lucky is the man who bears it in his pocket.
Amen.
No, you laugh, but what does that folk wisdom mean? What does it mean? It means keep it to yourself, right?
Right.
Don't walk around telling everybody your problems. Otherwise, you're liable to have a successful radio show.
Compared to some, of course, it's in your pocket, you know, meaning that it's small enough to bear.
There's a different meaning. That's very intelligent. You're an intelligent woman. I'd love to talk with you. That's great.
Well,
you give a subtlety to phrases and words that I don't get from ordinary people. I thought it meant that happy is you who can carry the cross and keep it to himself. But you mean that the burden is so small that you can put it in your pocket.
Right, because, you know, there's always someone with a bigger cross to bear than you. If your cross fits in your pocket, you're not doing too bad.
Sophia, what did you do or what do you do professionally?
Well, it's a long story, Dr. Savage. I would love to have a conversation with you at some point. Unfortunately, I'm in the middle of cooking sauce right now.
So you're one of the girls who cooked for the guys, huh?
I do, and I enjoy it. And
well, let me tell you something. I love that there are people left, men and women, who still have the art of cooking. God knows the world wouldn't be the same place without a great cuisine. And there's certainly a big difference between eating and dining. I'm going to send you a beautiful present. It's the one book that I really love now. It's Trickle Down Tyranny. It's a special present for you for the summer. Great summer reading. It's bound to cheer you up. No question about that one. Isn't this beautiful? Look at that. I got great callers. See, whenever I get into this whole thing of being me and letting my angst hang out, if I let my angst hang out, the people call. I know, because no one wants to hear any more about the two titans, the two intellectual giants, Romney versus Obama. That was what I was getting at in my last hour. I think the best thing I said, the best thing, was that I can't take it anymore. If it was a choice between one intellectual giant and another, or one man of great achievement versus another man of achievement, I would be excited. It was like Einstein versus Spinoza. I mean, I'm giving it a rough example, right? But it isn't. Now, I know Romney is a giant compared to Obama. I know Romney's actually real compared to the construct called Obama. That we know. All you got to do is see the teleprompter to know that. I also know that Romney is a real American as opposed to Obama, who has a quasi-association with American values. That's how I see it, as one man's opinion. Okay? Okay, but that's not it. The point is, I'm not excited by either candidate. That's all. That's why I'd rather not talk about him. I'd rather talk about language, cooking. Here's a caller I cannot wait to get to, but I'm out of time. Jim in Detroit says the human psyche doesn't handle leisure well. Now, that guy, I got to talk to the minute I come back. I don't handle leisure well. I have never, ever handled leisure well. Never. You know, I've written about 28 books now. I am telling you that if I look in closets and I got manuscripts going back to when I was 16. I don't know how I produced it all, but I never ever stop thinking. I never stop writing. I never stop producing. I don't mean I don't lay there like a vegetable and watch TV, but my mind is resting, preparing, because movies are phenomenal. If you watch the right drama, do you realize what kind of brains went into creating that? All of the different people, from costumes to lighting. It's amazing when you think about it, right?
Savage.
it's the Savage Nation. We've been talking about, I don't know, not many political topics, because I think you've heard it all by now. How much can you listen to the same thing day in and day out, right? Fort Hood suspect's beard disrupts court. DNC chairwoman Debbie Wasserman says she's disappointed over Congressman Todd Akin. Ah, come on already. Let's get the election over with. Let's get the deficit under control. Let's get some grown-ups who've run a business running the country. Let's get these academic communists out of office already before it's too late, you know? But now in the middle of it, we got to talk about everything every day. Let's go to the first call of this segment. Out of Detroit, Michigan, Jim, you've been holding. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I come to the conclusion years ago that the human psyche on most people cannot handle leisure time. I think that's the beginnings of the liberal mental disease.
I don't know whether it's the beginning of a mental disease. I mean, there are plenty of conservatives who know how to handle leisure. I'm not one of them. I have never handled leisure well. I don't golf. I don't play tennis. I don't play baseball. I don't play basketball. I don't ice skate. I don't roller skate. I do bicycle from time to time, but basically I get bored very quickly with too much time on my hands.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you about that hobby. I have lots of hobbies, and my friends kind of envy me because they're bored. But I don't know. The hobbies just keep me going.
Well, you're a lucky man if you know how to, you know, engage in a hobby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean...
I don't really have a hobby. As a kid, I used to make models. I was very into model making. Maybe I should get back to that. Have it like, you know, turn one of those old guys who play. I'm not ready for that. I admire people who can do it. I'm thinking of building a sailboat in my garage. When I lived in Queens, would you believe it? There was a kid three doors down in an attached house. I was shocked. I didn't even know what a boat was living in the landlocked Queens that I grew up in. I didn't know that there was water anywhere. If we went over the East River, to me, that was the largest body of water I had ever seen until we went out to Jones Beach and I realized there was an ocean. Kids live in their own world. In the Bronx when I was a boy, I had no idea there was water. In the distant, there was the Bronx River. It was more like a swamp. I never went near it. It was like ugly and black. It looked like ink, you know? But he was building a boat in his garage. The kid had he had all sorts of tools, and he was cutting wood and building. I don't know how he'd get it out of the basement. Sometimes I lay awake at night and ponder that. He was building a boat in his basement, you know, like a 25 foot. But to this day, I don't know if the boat's still stuck down in that basement because there would be no way to get it out. What was he building it for? How would he remove it from his basement? There was no physical way this neighbor of mine could have removed the boat from the basement. I would think that if someone lives near Utopia Parkway, if they can knock on the door, I lived at 7310. I'm talking a long time ago. So he would have been like four houses down, three on the right. He built a boat in this basement. How could he get it out of that basement? I still don't. But I was thinking of building a boat in my basement, but I don't have a basement, so I build one in my garage. That way I could take it down the driveway. I was going to get like a hobby going with building a wooden boat. I thought that would be fun. Like a rowboat. I'm not going to build it like an ark. I'm not expecting global warming to like suddenly flood the earth. How come all the liberals don't have boats in their bedrooms since they're so afraid of global warming? How come they don't want the nanny state to provide them with a boat? And a goat, by the way, for milk and cheese. You know, I think if Obama's reelected, one of his reelection campaign slogans should be a boat and a goat in every house. Because think about it, with global warming and stuff, I mean, if the sea level rises catastrophically, every liberal is going to need a boat in order to save themselves. And they're going to need a goat for cheese and milk. So I think that Obama's slogan should be a goat and a boat in every house. Vincenza in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hello, Dr. Savage. I'm pulling my hair out of my head listening to Sophia talk. I have to respectfully disagree with her.
Go ahead. I grew
up in the Bronx. I was born in Italy. I grew up on Belmont Avenue, Arthur Avenue.
Oh, well, that's a heart of Italian culture in America.
I learned how to make a mean cappuccino in the pastry shops over there.
Yeah.
I call it gravy. When you make it with meat, it's gravy. That's why you call it marinara sauce, penne alla vodka sauce.
Yeah.
Gravy with the meatballs and the sausage, okay?
But why is it called gravy? How did that originate?
Because you're using meat to cook the tomatoes. So it becomes a gravy because you're using the actual meat to cook in the sauce.
So in other words, by extracting some of the tastes, the fats and flavors from the meats, it's turning more into a gravy than a sauce.
Yeah, because it's reduced. Because when I make my gravy on Sunday morning, it's at least a three-hour process.
Oh, my God. And I'm so Americanized that my idea of good sauce is in a jar.
Well, you got to come to my house and make you a nice gravy, okay? Just finish.
I would love it. I love all my listeners. I love it. It's a digital world I live in. I created a world of my own on radio. Isn't it beautiful? It's phenomenal. It's great. It's wonderful. Think about this. I've been on the radio since 1994, and around the country, I got people who wait for me to go on the radio, and it's like a family to them. They hear others, then they disagree or they agree. On a day like today, we're getting off politics, and we're talking about gravy versus sauce. It's enough on that already. But it's an interesting topic to me because it just shows you that even something as basic as a spaghetti sauce, you can have a debate over whether it's a sauce or a gravy. It just shows you. If you can argue over whether it's sauce or gravy, you tell them you can't argue over whether Obama's a communist or, a socialist or a Marxist. It's either one or the other. Either he's a socialist or a Marxist. That's all. You know, it's either gravy or sauce. But it just shows you what you can discuss. Right? Whatever. That's the end of it. Oh, here's a good caller. Mitch in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation. You read my mind.
Yeah, I got the perfect hobby for you, Mr. Savage. Learn how to fly.
What?
You're a navigator. You're a boater. The next best thing for freedom is flying. Leave all
you know, you're 100. You know, I have been thinking about learning it. I'm kind of older than I should be to take up flying. But the thing is that I'm going to admit to you that several times in my past, I have tried to learn to fly, and I'm not good at it. I don't have the spatial skills to fly an to be a pilot of an airplane.
Flight instructor. I teach people how to fly. My daughter's a flight instructor. It's easy. It's not hard. You can drive a car. You can fly a plane.
But Mitch, let me ask you something. Aren't there some people who take to the skies naturally and others who have a terrible, terrible time with it?
Yes, some do. Some do. But if you have natural skills, you're a boater. You're a navigator.
Well, but you know, there's a difference between... Yeah, but here's the difference. If I'm floating on the water, it's a whole different sense of dimensions than being up in the sky with nothing underneath me.
Seas. What if you're in rough seas?
Well, okay, that's certainly... But there's something under you. I mean, if the boat quits, let's say, and catches fire, I throw the lifeboat, I have an 8-man raft, boom, it inflates, and I get in it. The airplane, though, if it quits, it's another story, isn't it?
It's not another story. It's just another...
Hey, I want to ask you something about it. Aren't there new little Cessnas that they make with full airplane parachutes now?
Well, Cessna doesn't have it. I believe it's Cirrus has it. They have the parachutes. You get in trouble, you pop the chute, and down you go. That's
you mean the entire
out.
Airplane is contained in a chute, right?
Yeah, the whole thing. The whole plane comes down. The chute is built into the back of the plane. It actually
See,
pops
so it's,
out.
And it's derived from the fighter pilot's ejection seats, I understand.
Well, it's not an ejection seat. It's a chute that comes down the back of the plane, and it brings the whole airplane down. It's not like it takes
you. I think that's great. I think that's great. Maybe I'll consider that kind of airplane. I still have a little bit of the height thing. You know, you look down. I don't know. You know, it's like you look at pilots. It's an interesting story. I'm not going to get into one of my side stories, but I once interviewed 8 years ago, World War II fighter pilots, and many of them had never flown before they went into the military in, the 1939, 40, 41, whenever they started drafting, 41, 42. A lot of these guys were farm boys who had never been in an airplane, and some of them had the most amazing capacity to fly an airplane, but the best of them all grew up with a rifle in their hands and all grew up hunting, and here's what I learned from them. The best fighter pilots who could get in a dogfight and kill a German or a Japanese aircraft in a fight were those who learned how to track an animal and shoot the animal from a long distance, because you in other words, you're doing is you're firing that round prior to the animal arriving at that point. And it's the same exact thing they said in an airplane. This is long before the computer did the shooting for you. Now go tell that to somebody who's a gunophobe. Go tell that to Charles Schumer. Go explain that to Dianne Feinstein. Ka-ching. Ka-ching. That's all I think about. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. China, ka-ching. That's all. Shopping carts to Beijing and back. Just keep filling the shopping cart with gelt in your pelt. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So it's really an East Coast, West Coast thing, the gravy sauce thing. That's what I've been looking on the internet now, and there's a lot of writings on it, believe it or not. It's unbelievable to me. My mother is an off-the-boat Italian, writes a person. I once asked her if she called it sauce or gravy. She told me that it was gravy if the tomato sauce was cooked with meat. Marinara, which is meatless, is referred to as sauce. So that's how they look at it. But then there's ragu. If you eat bolognese, you know, that's another name for it, meat-based ragu. So there are many different names for sort of the same thing. Apparently, the fact of the matter is gravies are actually a subset of sauce. In the sense that it's a sauce, but it's called a gravy if it's a quick sauce involving the pan drippings with almost no reduction and no skimming. And it's basically a rustic or peasanty unrefined sauce that is a little different here. But it depends what it tastes like at the end of the day. Is it ragu? Is it sauce? Is so you can argue over this now. Ragu, sauce, whatever. Gravy, sauce, ragu. But I've known guys who've used the word gravy more to sound like they were from a certain part of Brooklyn, or they were wise guys more than anything. The ones that I knew used it. Like, I'm going to have gravy. You know what I'm saying? They were trying to, like, make a point that they came from an area. They were trying to say that, too. You know, like an area. Like, they were trying to make a point. Look, people are people. Everybody's got to get through life, and everyone has their way of doing it. I like a thin sauce. I don't eat heavy sauces. They taste good, but you know what it does to your arteries. Take a look at the tombstones in these cemeteries in New York. You'll know how good the, you know what I mean, the ragus are. Take a look. Look at the dates. Look at the dates, 52, 55. Between the cigarettes and the ragu, you know, you didn't last too long. So you got to eat a horribly boring life like a monk. You got to eat like a monk to live long. Or if you want to, you know, get roly-poly and rotund and go girly, go ahead. I didn't say go girly. I said go early. I said go early, not go girly. Did I? I don't know. Was it a slip of the tongue? Did I say go girly or go girl? Go gargle with Google, whatever. I think that's going to be my new put-down. I used to say go gargle with Rogaine. Remember when I was mad at people? That was 10 years ago. I haven't done it in years. I think my new one will be, you know what? Go gargle with Google if I don't like a caller. Do you like this topic? Would you rather I talk about gravy or the election? Because I'll tell you the truth. To me, talking about gravy is more interesting than the election. I don't know. If it was late summer and I'm an ordinary guy driving around in a car somewhere and I'm tuning in talk radio, would I want to hear any more about another Obama scandal or what some schmuck said about abortion in the South? What do I care? How does that affect me? Whereas what I eat tonight is more interesting to me, whether it's a gravy or a sauce. It's something to think about anyway. You know, next I'll talk about olive oils and I'll talk about bread. I'll talk about coffee. I'll talk about wine. I mean, I can do all of these things. Everything is a world unto itself. And I don't claim to be an expert in all of those things, but I certainly have my likes and dislikes. After a certain number of decades of sampling various and sundry selections of each of the above, we all have our own likes and dislikes. And I certainly know the difference between one oil and another. California right now has some of the best olive oil in the world, by the way. If I want organic olive oil, I used to buy only Spanish olive oil. Why? Because it was a low acid oil. I love the taste of it. I love dipping bread in it. Now, I only buy organic California oil for two reasons. One, because it's the most reliably, certifiably organic oil. You cannot trust anything that comes out of Europe which says it's organic. Forget about it. It's not reliable. They just put a label on it, means nothing. That's like, you know, kosher food in New Jersey, whatever. I mean, how reliable is it? What does the word kosher mean? You think that because a rabbi put a stamp on it, it's better for you? That's another racket, incidentally. You look into that. Kosher, schmosher, what does it mean? I've studied this in great detail. The animals are not raised differently. They're slaughtered differently, if at that. But the meat itself is not any more pure than the other slaughtered meats that are in the supermarket. I know people don't want to believe it. You know, it's because I for years I would watch the people who thought that they were eating some religious based diet, poisoning themselves with the most horrendous diet I ever saw in my life, loaded with sugar, loaded with salt, loaded with fat. They were sickly and obese, and all because it said kosher, they thought they were eating something good. They were hoodwinked. I wrote an article in the 80s called Is Kosher Junk Food Yiddishkeit? I wrote it for my Jewish friends. Nobody read it. I was trying to explain to them that just because it has a kosher stamp on it, if it's junk food, it's junk food. No one understood me, to their own detriment. But that's the problem with being an original thinker and an original leader, is that you try to tell people things and they don't want to listen to you. Then when they're 50 years old, they say, oh, you know, I love a guy came up to me. He's, oh, he's 60. Now, the guy was stooped over. He was sick with three different diseases, diabetes, this, that. He was eating like a pig. Everything he threw salt on. You went to a Sabbath table, he threw like salt. It was like snowflakes. Go ahead, dip the bread in salt. I used to think he was insane. And the dessert was Stella d'Oro. I mean, forget about that. Who eats that? Who eats like that anymore? You don't understand what I'm trying to say to you, is that you have to incorporate some of the modern knowledge of nutrition into your love for food, or you're not going to last too long, is what I'm trying to say. And you could still keep a kosher diet. If you really want to eat Jewish food and you're Jewish, you know what you should be eating? A Yemenite diet. Because that's the original Jewish diet. It's not salty Polish food from 1870, what they ate in Poland. It's the same with the clothing. I've tried to argue it. They explain to people. They don't want to hear it. I leave them alone. You know, I believe people have a right to follow any religious beliefs they believe. But the fact is, where does it come from? Where does it come from? Where does the idea of religious Jewish people wearing black clothing and black hats? Is it in the Bible? No. Abraham and Isaac didn't wear black costumes with black hats. So where did the black hats and the black clothing come from? Why do some of the Orthodox religious men still wear it? Because they're stuck in the past. They got stuck in like 19th century Poland of a businessman. And they thought that that was high class, so they wear clothing like that. So it became a custom. It's like Amish or this or that. But there's nothing inherently religious about wearing clothing of that nature. And it's the same with Muslims. You've got modern Muslims who understand that the throwbacks who want to wear full body coverings, it's not even in the Quran, for God's sakes. You ask an educated Muslim if they want their wife to wear a cloak like that, which makes them into châtel, like walking around in Africa in the 8th century. Nobody wants to dress a woman like that, except the primitives who we accept into this country, who are trying to impose a 1,000-year-old doctrine that doesn't even exist in their own Bible. And that's why the French banned the burqa. They said, no, you're living in a modern, secular nation. We're not asking you to follow all of our ways, but we're not going to have you walking around like châtel in our streets. And they banned the burqa. Because they have to hold on to their culture in some way, don't they? Well, yes. Because they have some people with you don't want in France. You know, it's the backwards. Here we have the opposite. Here, no matter how primitive, no matter how retrograde, no matter how insulting to women, the cowardly politicians will accept it because they're afraid to be called intolerant. They're afraid of being called intolerant, that they're not socially liberal and accepting of all things and all mores. Well, that just shows weakness. It doesn't show strength, in my opinion. But then again, it's one man's opinion. How we got from gravy to burkas, I don't know, but we did, and here we are. And this is the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8. Yes, I do believe in a vegan diet. You're doing well. I admire anyone who could eat a vegetarian diet. I would commit suicide after about 3 days, personally. I mean, if I ate the way I know I'm supposed to eat, I wouldn't last a week. I'd have to take the gas pipe. I'd have to put a long hose on the back of my car and sit in the garage after about a week of eating a vegan diet myself. I could never. I mean, there's more to food than just calories, isn't there? You're supposed to enjoy what you eat. Otherwise, you start looking like a Democrat running across the bridge.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now listen up. Obama is busy tearing down America while leftists who are crazy and kind of stupid, by the way, like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, simply attack a congressman for something stupid he said about rape, ignoring all of the really big problems.
I would say that the sentiment that I'm feeling as a woman is incredible disappointment. You saw dozens of Republicans rushing to condemn those comments. And those condemnations, they ring pretty hollow when so many of them, including Paul Ryan, who was Mitt Romney's choice to run for vice president, over 200 Republicans co-sponsored the policy that reflects Todd Akin's sentiment when they co-sponsored H.R. 3 last year that would have changed in the law the definition of rape to only mean forcible rape. And so, you know, forgive me if I'm less than I have not much belief in their protestations about Todd Akin's sentiment when Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, and dozens of their Republican colleagues have embraced that sentiment by co-sponsoring legislation that would do just that in the law.
Is that really the most important thing that Americans should be talking about, Debbie? How about the Russian submarine that snuck into the Gulf of Mexico without detection? Or the hundreds of thousands of rounds of hollow point ammunition that your government is stockpiling? Or the trillions of dollars in deficit? No, this dope goes on.
I wouldn't say that Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan had a very good week. They started the week having to defend themselves on their plan to end Medicare as we know it, to shred the health care safety net for seniors, turn it into a voucher program. And instead of talking about jobs and the economy, which is the number one issue on voters' minds right now, they've been forced to talk about and defend their really terrible policy on Medicare. And then at the end of the week, they had to defend Paul Ryan's hypocrisy on the stimulus, where he voted against it, but then really got caught not being truthful about the fact that he'd asked for stimulus funds for projects in his district, in which he said the reason he thought that they should be funded is because they created jobs, all while saying he opposed the stimulus plan because it did nothing and created no jobs. So they had a tough week, and now they, week two is a little bit even more tough because it's been very clear that that the Republican Party, led by Mitt Romney, fully embraces a human life amendment to the Constitution with no exception for rape, incest, or the life of the mother.
And meanwhile, Obama the communist keeps spreading his lies, as I pointed out in the one book you need, Trickle Down Tyranny.
Over the next 2.5 months, the other side will spend more money than we have ever seen, ever. I mean, they got folks writing $10 million checks, $20 million checks. They should be contributing that to a scholarship fund to send kids to college. Instead, they are going to spend more money than we've ever seen on ads. And, you know, the ads all say the same thing, which is the economy's not where it needs to be, and it's all Obama's fault. They're betting every single $10 million check from a wealthy donor drowns out millions of voices at the ballot box.
What about all your rich, powerful, left-wing fanatic Hollywood donors, Mr. President, and all those big illegals you're trying to register? Crimes against America.
When you leave, I'm asking you to grab 10 friends, make sure they're registered too, and if you need more information, you can go visit the website gottaregister.com. That's not got to, not got to, it's gotta. GOTTAregister.com.
Yeah, big laugh. And a Democrat Congresswoman, Gwen Moore, is getting a big laugh from her political poetry. This is just what Congress needs to be focusing on.
Step right up, you job creators. Reduce the deficit with no tax, you say. Just put Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the social safety net under the budget acts, you pray. Step right up, you job creators. We've cut revenue so you'd invest. But you've taken this money on a global quest to manufacture offshore and give no profit to America, your benefactor. Step right up, each and every job creator. We must insist. Do you really exist? Or is this just political theater?
Congresswoman Gwen Moore, a brilliant specimen of humanity, and she was even worse when they failed to recall Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker earlier this year. Listen to this idiocy.
Great Scott Walker. You gotta go, baby. because we don't want you no more. Walker, you're a slick talker, baby. Your jargon to cut spending didn't mention that our right to bargain would be ending. You want to create 250,000 jobs, you purport? But you declined over $1 billion in federal support for job creation on behalf of Tea Party ideation. Great Scott, Scott Walker, you gotta go, baby, because we don't want you no more.
You can say that again. Questions for the Savage Nation. I've been invited to go to the Republican convention to broadcast. Should I go? Why or why not? Well, do you think if I went, I'd have an impact? It put me in Siberia. Do you fear that the recent surge in West Nile virus is due to illegal immigration? Well, the mosquitoes are definitely illegal. Have you had a friend or relative who's been made sick by coming into contact with an immigrant who snuck into America? The military has said that a judge has the right to have the Fort Hood shooter, the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, forcibly shaved so that the trial can begin against him. Do you fear Obama will intervene to delay the trial post-election? Obama said that the first dog, Bo, is on a diet. Do you think Obama has been overfeeding his dog? Uh-oh, Lord of the Fries. What does this say about him as a president? Nothing. And here's what's on michaelsavage.com today, www.michaelsavage.com, borders, language, and culture, home of the Savage Nation. Have you gotten your copy of Trickle Down Tyranny yet? Look, the election's coming up. It's the one book you need to stop Obama. Buy it for a friend before we lose all of our constitutional rights. It's available in every bookstore and at Amazon. Trickle Down Tyranny, crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. And what's in the news? News? The communist president has printed another $1.1 trillion. Another $1.1 trillion plus federal deficit from the criminal gangster Democrats. Third world diseases making comeback in the United States via illegal aliens. Thank you, Obama. Thank you, Obama, for bringing in disease, destruction, and crime. I'm not making this up, but Eric Holder, the Department of Justice chief, is recruiting schizophrenics and the intellectually disabled above other people. The directive calls for hiring schizophrenics and intellectually disabled people over and above those without such disabilities. You might say, well, wait a minute. You mean they're just going to join the herd? New York Governor Cuomo says government is the answer to all your problems. We believe in government. Now Fareed Zakaria of CNN has a new problem. Ghostwriter is accusing him of having written some of his things. Muslim pleads guilty in Kentucky terrorism case. Bring in more of them. In England, a teen was raped in a department store restroom by two Muslims. They can't find the guys, though, you see. Why is Obama arming federal agencies with hollow point bullets? Lesbian fakes hate crime. She carved slurs into her own body. The university campus lit candles and went on a vigil against hate. She's now been arrested for faking the hate crime. You see, they found her DNA inside the gloves that she said were used to do things to her. Never would have thunk. Reports say North Korea's Kim Jong-il madman will travel to Iran to visit the Hitler of our time. Approval of Congress hits bottom. Rampant sex causing syphilis and other STDs to spike. Your mother was right, sex is dirty. 1-800-449-8255. Immigration agency now accused of bias against men. Apparently a feminist cabal has taken over the old INS, creating a hostile and discriminatory work environment against men. Really? And I thought women were going to be kinder and gentler. High school teacher convicted of having group sex with five students. She's married and has three children. Well, let it all hang out. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Finally, on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, Michael on his high school rifle team. Why am I showing you that picture? A, to show you that I had a rifle in high school. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for shooting. This is for fun. It's from my forthcoming book, Train Tracks, due out October 2012 from HarperCollins. If you're going to buy a book this Christmas, buy that book. It's now moved up from 500,000 to number 47,000 in books. No, I mean, really, that's pretty good. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Wait, hang on. Before I go, you know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Why is there such a cluster of insane shootings in America under Obama? I think the question answers itself to a certain extent. I think that race relations are worse today than they ever have been in my lifetime. I've never seen anything like this. We know that the Democrat Party itself is a party that thrives on, let us say, dissension between peoples. We certainly know that Obama and his minions are conducting class warfare in America, pitting poor against rich, the middle class against the poor, the middle class against the rich. We know that the Obama machine wants blacks to resent whites, whites to resent blacks, Hispanics to resent black. It just doesn't end. We know that we have the most divisive administration in modern American history. I don't know of one that's been more divisive. Can we blame Axelrod? No. Can we blame Obama? No. You can blame anybody you want. The fact of the matter is there was a madman, a racist white male madman, who shot up a Sikh temple, and people are dead. If you're a member of the United States Sikh community, what do you want to say to America is the real question. And who do you think is most to blame for the recent spate of mass shootings in America? And while you're at it, will someone answer this question, please? Can someone stand up in the audience and tell me why the media has immediately, well, almost immediately brushed aside the Fort Hood massacre conducted by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan, and as near as 2 weeks ago brushed aside the finding that the FBI knew that the Muslim major Nidal Hassan was a madman and a ticking time bomb about to go off? Can you tell me why Wolf Blitzer and the other vermin in the media completely pushed aside and still to this day do not refer to the Fort Hood massacre with any consideration? Moreover, why do you think the anti-Christian, anti-white, anti-American Southern Poverty Law Center has suddenly inserted itself into this tragedy? Who is the Southern Poverty Law Center? We're going to look into them and ask ourselves, have they anything to do with the militarization of individuals in this country simply by picking on white males? We have many other questions. We should talk about the Sikh people. I can't say I'm an expert, but anyone who does a search will find out that the Sikhs are more or less an offshoot of the Hindu faith, not the Muslim faith, not that it should matter. This madman obviously thought he was killing foreigners. He didn't care who they were. For him, it could have been Jews just as well. And I have a question for the audience that I think is very important. And that goes to Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and any other minority sect in religion in America. Would you object to having armed security guards at your house of worship? I have for years have been trying to get some Jewish people that I know to have armed security guards, and they live in a glass house of absurdity. Oh, it won't happen. Oh, don't worry. Oh, Hashem will protect me. They don't listen to reality. They don't know what reality they're in. There should be armed guards inside Jewish temples and outside. Some have them, by the way. Hindus should have armed guards. Muslims should have armed guards. And by the way, not American military, not American police paid for by taxpayers, but paid for by the congregation. Jews, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, I recommend that you have armed security guards, private armed security guards, both inside and outside your houses of worship, because I think it's going to get worse than it's ever been. Now, if you want to talk about the Sikh temple shooting in any manner, you can do so. I'm quite surprised that various individuals who I admire in the media are calling him an army vet, as if to smear the army and if to imply that the army had something to do with it. I mean, he was kicked out of the army 14 years ago. That's like saying Sikh shooter was a milk drinker. That has as much relevance as him having been kicked out of the army 14 years ago. Would you object to having armed security guards within your house of worship, especially if you're a member of a minority religion? I have no idea why houses of worship, especially of minorities, are not armed to the teeth. I don't understand it. Moreover, the media, of course, has tried to make Sikhs into Muslims, which they're not, which, you know, is neither here nor there in some way. The racist madman thought that Sikhs were Muslims. Not that it would have been less of a tragedy had he done it in a Muslim house of worship, obviously. Would have been the same tragedy, okay?
Savage.
Why is Obama ignoring this great victory is the question. There's a psychological answer for it. There's a political answer for it. A real American president would have had a press conference. He would have had the engineers from NASA up there. He would have had the American flag. The American people would have felt so good to have a real American in the White House, but we don't. There's something wrong here. Dallas, Texas. Mike, why do you think Obama is ignoring this great success of NASA?
Mike, it's obvious. You can BS your way into the White House, but you can't BS your way to the surface of Mars.
Well put from a Texan. You can fake your way into the presidency, but you can't fake your way to Mars. I think that says, oh, yeah, the land of the free and the home of the brave, the land of the Alamo. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because I think you already know that book. I'm pretty sure that's amazing. That says it all. That really does say it all. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage. I have a similar gripe to yours when you say that. Am I the only one that sees what's going on? I'm bombarded daily by my conservative friends with emails and videos of Obama's past from 20, 25 years ago, how he changed his name to Sotero, and his dad was a member of the African National, this or that. And I my point is, you need to look no further than what he did today or yesterday or who he had dinner with or who he's divorcing with, or his latest...
Yeah, right. I don't care about the birth certificate or the fact that he faked his way into Columbia or Harvard. He's faking his way through the presidency, and that's the issue.
It is such a distraction, it's almost as if it were by design.
You mean a distraction to focus on the past rather than the present?
Yeah. Every day there's material. Just to pick something, there's a very aggressive campaign right now to sign people up for food stamps and... Social Security disability insurance.
Oh, yeah, they even have a USDA office in Mexico trying to get illegal aliens to get some food stamps down there.
Yeah, we are being torn apart, and it goes unreported. And
Neolithic frankly, invasion, there's no question about it. Neolithic invasion, there's no question about it.
Yeah, conservatives are dwelling on the fact that he ate dog in 1978.
No, I understand it's very adolescent, it's almost childish, and it distracts us from what he's doing today. Every time I see an Obama bumper sticker, I get enraged. I feel like rolling my window down and starting to say, Solyndra, $1 trillion missing in loans. I want to go down the list, but then I say it's a free country, and they're entitled to their ignorance. There's nothing more I can do. Thank God I have the freedom that I do on the radio, and... they have the freedom to live in a dream world thinking Obama's an honest man who is for the poor. There's no question about that. I blame Romney, though, because Romney should be articulating these issues for us. It's not up to me to do it. It's not up to you to do it. It's up to Romney to do it. I don't think he's doing a very good job, incidentally. And yes, I will vote. I will vote for Mr. Check Pants. Okay? Chicago, Donald, you're on the Savage Nation on the Mars issue.
The Mars project was started, funded, and planned years ago, and so Obama couldn't defund it. So he's going to be embarrassed that it was a success because he's defunded NASA. So I think he would have talked about it on the radio or in the media if it had been a failure, because then he could say, well, see, all this $2.5 billion they spent on this vehicle could have gone to help the poor and the needy and whatever. So yeah. he can't hone up to a success because he wanted it to be a failure.
Right. Well, he doesn't understand, because he obviously is a science illiterate, that many of the inventions and discoveries that we have today are a direct result of space exploration. And so far as I know, all the investment in welfare has produced nothing in terms of technology or advancing the human condition. The trillions of dollars that have been spent on welfare since I have been living have produced not one invention, not one discovery, not one advancement for humankind, while the opposite is true for space exploration. That's it. Can anyone name one advancement that has occurred as a result of so-called social spending on welfare? Can anyone tell me of a discovery or of a product or a service that somebody on the planet has benefited from as a result of social spending in the form of welfare? I don't know of any. And I'm a former social worker, incidentally. I am not saying starve the poor, but I am saying there's a limit to how much you can do for people who are unable to help themselves. And I'm also a firm believer in giving a person a fishing rod, not a fish. I learned that a very long time ago from a Chinese billionaire when I was a young graduate student. He was interested in botany. It's a long story. And I somehow got to be his tour guide in Hawaii at the time. And I remember I was desperate for him to give me a grant so I could continue my research, honestly. Would have been nice to get a golden handout like that. He was a very nice, distinguished Chinese gentleman. And when he left Honolulu, he left me with one line. He said, it's better to give a man a fishing rod than a fish. It was his way of saying to me, I'm not giving you a dime. You know what I'm saying? Figure it out on your own. And it actually was very good advice, and he did me a favor. Otherwise, I would have been another academic welfare recipient. Because as far as I can tell, most people in academia are on welfare. They're on academic welfare. What do you think it is? You think their research is so important that they deserve grants to go and study cow's testicles in Burma? Or to go study horse sperm in Thailand? No. Okay, so there we are. 1-800-449-8255. Tampa, Florida. Vince, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
The reason that we haven't heard about this space program is because the genius, the execution, and the success cannot be tied to any minority group in this country. And I think he's become so polarizing and divisive. And on the other hand, when the Olympians come home, you'll see the tennis player, you'll see the gymnast, you'll see the track athletes, the basketball players.
Did you see the low-life degenerate musicians like Chris Rock debasing the White House and what they did inside the White House, how it was hushed up and how the video was squashed right after they went in there and trashed the White House? I know this man has debased America and the White House. Don't get me started. I have to control myself every day because I don't understand how dumb the American people are.
That'll be the red meat he throws at the liberal for patriotism, the athletes.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, and I think enough has been said. You're right. That's right. What is this now? German weightlifter drops 432-pound barbell on his head and walks away. Well, he's German. I mean, I'm sorry. That should have been a symbol shot. No, it's an amazing story. Defending weightlifting gold medalist Matthias Steiner walked away from a terrifying incident Tuesday when he dropped a barbell weighing 432 pounds on his neck. The German was attempting to snatch 196 kg when his knees and arms buckled, causing the massive barbell to fall on top of his head. Steiner collapsed under the barbell and instantaneously flopped while its mass bent his neck and head. He was saluted by the crowd and walked off under his own power. Just shows you that. You know what I'm saying? German food, there's a lot going for it. No, that's awful. A guy could have been killed. That's amazing. What a powerful guy. Good God. I should get those pictures up on the website. German weightlifter drops 430 pounds and walks away. I think I'm going to go have some German beer tonight. Maybe that'll help me tomorrow. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Firing chain is armed.
15.
Go for main engine start. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff. The final liftoff of Atlantis on the shoulders of the space shuttle. America will continue the dream.
Atlantis.
Houston now controlling the flight of Atlantis. The space shuttle spreads its wings one final time for the start of a sentimental journey into history. 24 seconds into the flight, roll program complete. Atlantis now heads down, wings level on the proper alignment for its 8.5-minute ride to orbit. 4.5 million pounds of hardware and humans taking aim on the International Space Station. 40 seconds into the flight, the three liquid fuel main engines throttling back to 72% of rated performance in the bucket, reducing stress on the shuttle as it goes transonic for the final time.
I don't know about you, but as an American, I am so proud of the engineers at NASA. I am so sad, almost to the point of tears, that we have such a hateful, anti-American in the White House that he wouldn't even utter a word of congratulations to the engineers and scientists who put the landing successfully on Mars the other day. If anything typifies and symbolizes the anti-Americanism of the communist, Marxist, anarchist, socialist in the White House, it is the fact that he ignored this great achievement. And you have to ask yourself, and this could tell you so much, why has Obama ignored this great success? Think about what I'm saying to you. One of the greatest successes of America, ignored by the man who leads the free world. Why? Is he threatened by the genius of the scientists and engineers? Probably. Is he offended by the fact that we are still dominant in space with regard to this landing on Mars? Yes. But there's more to it. There's an entire psychology here that a psychiatrist who also is literate would be able to articulate far better than I. But something is so wrong with Obama that he would not even utter a word of congratulations that that's astonishing to me. But I myself am so proud of the scientists and engineers at NASA, I've got to tell you. And at the same time, I'm sickened by the presidency. What's even worse is that the media lets this man get away with this. Can you imagine what this country would be like if we had a real American in the White House? A genuine American who had real sympathies with America's greatness, America's exceptionalism. Can you imagine a president who would have held a press conference in the midst of a campaign, and he would have had all the engineers and scientists, the lead scientists and engineers from NASA up on the platform with him? What was he afraid of, that they were too white? Was he afraid that they didn't look like the diversity booklets at Harvard and Yale and Princeton? Was he afraid that they didn't look like the stacked, don't get me started, it gets me sick. It gets me sick, something's wrong with this whole picture. But now we have to ask ourselves another question. Why has Romney said nothing about this NASA victory? What is wrong with that man? What the heck is wrong with that man that all he does is go, I paid the taxes, I paid the taxes. What's wrong with this man? Why is he running such a weak campaign? Why is he running such a meek campaign? How can we have faith in a man who has no spine? That's what we're all asking. I know you don't want me to say it. You're saying, shh, don't undermine him. Shh, we got to beat Obama. Yeah, I know all of that. But what is this guy, a corpse? Is Romney some kind of corpse at a funeral? Or is he a candidate who wants to take back America and express the gratitude that we all have for the greatness of this country? That's what I'd like to talk about, but there's no point in doing it. So what I will do instead is open it up to you, the listener. Any topic, really, it's open mic to mic. Is Romney a corpse or a candidate? Why has Obama not talked about the Mars landing? 1-800-449-8255. Las Vegas, Dave, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head once again. This election is going to, we're going to vote for the corpse. The corpse of Romney, we know, we get it, just like you just said. The issue is we've got to work on these Democrats who think that the Kennedy Democrat of old is this Obama Democrat of today, and they're completely different. Kennedy, who stands up in his inauguration speech and says, ask not what you do for your country, we know the speech, and then also says, I want to get to the moon by the end of this decade, is not the great society Democrat that wants to expound government, the Marxist-Leninist type of
absolutely
Democrat.
John F. Kennedy, as I've said for years, would, if he were alive today and running for office, would be running as a conservative. John F. Kennedy and the Democrats of that day would be considered a conservative party. Obama is a naked Marxist, as I have articulated for years, both on this radio program, trickle up poverty, trickle down tyranny. There's only so much a man can say, but what more do I need to say than we have a successful landing on Mars, which has to be one of the greatest feats in American science and engineering in world history, and the president ignores it. Why?
Don't know. Can only tell you this. On the social media out there, the Facebook, a lot of people posted up how proud we were of this country. And you know what? It's almost kind of a interesting thing. Thank goodness he almost didn't do it. A real president would have. But had he done it, he might have just soared in the polls 5%, simply because it's the kind of thing that this country needs to rally around. These
yes.
are the types of events.
So what is it that he's afraid of? What has his brain, what has Obama's brain, Axelrod, thought? What has he told Obama as to the NASA mission? Why has he said don't talk about it? This is a fabulous question as far as I'm concerned. I pretty much know the answer. New York, WOR, Joe, why do you think Obama refuses to acknowledge the genius of NASA?
Okay, the bottom line is this. Anything to give the American people any kind of pride, he's not going to do it. Anything to give us a sense of, like, that we're the best at anything, he's not going to do it.
You're right. You're right, but there's got to be some psychological warp in Obama's personality for him to not understand that we, the people, see something wrong with him in not extolling the genius of the science and engineer, scientists and engineers. Why is he not doing this?
Because he doesn't want the American people to have any pride in their country. He wants to take it away.
You know something? I tend to agree with you. I think it's why belabor it? Why belabor this? Why belabor it? He wants to beat us up and wear us down and turn us into welfare recipient deadbeat bums where everybody's a victim and everybody's a bum and a victim that needs the big brother to protect them. Maybe that's it. Made my point. I've screamed from the bottom of my heart. No one seems to hear a word I say anymore. I don't quite understand the country I'm living in, that the president of the United States of America would ignore the Mars rover landing is perhaps the clearest example of the man's contempt for this nation and its greatness. And that's all I have to say about it. Now let's turn to the New York Times. Listen to this story today. Outside group begins $25 million anti-Obama ad run. The swing state campaign from the conservative Americans for Prosperity, financed by the Koch brothers, shows the power in this election of a small number of wealthy donors. What? You mean Katzenberg are not a small number of wealthy donors? You mean the Hollywood billionaires? You mean the people that he feeds with, eats with, drinks with every day of the week are not a small number of wealthy donors to the Democrat Party, New York Times? But again, they demonize the Koch brothers. Americans for Prosperity, the Tea Party organization backed by the Koch brothers, is set to begin a $25 million advertising assault aimed at President Obama. Wealthy donors shaping the presidential campaign. No mention, of course, of the liberal billionaires who are supporting Obama and what they get out of it. No mention of the billions of dollars that have been stolen from the Treasury by the backers of Obama way back when. Instead, only about those who no longer want to live in a Marxist economy. 1-800. You can't talk about this. There's nothing to say. Let's see what else is in the media. I don't know. The New York Times is kind of boring at these days. The agenda, how to parse climate change and extreme weather. They're still into that. Climate change. And it used to be global warming. It became climate change. Now it's extreme weather. They don't know what to call it anymore. Wisconsin killer was fueled by hate. So did they call for banning heavy metal music? Off a cop, kill a pig, rape a woman? That's not hate music? So, you see, I guess they can't say ban the music that fed this lunatic, because if they do, then they trip over their own words and they realize they have to ban only Harvey Weinstein could invite them to his house. According to the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, they have been routinely monitoring violent extremist websites of all kinds, mainly those attracting white supremacists. Certainly not those attracting black supremacists. No, only one, and you wonder why people are going crazy in this country.
Savage.